Okay, after our recess, we're coming back into regular session at 6:51. So the next item on the agenda is agenda-related public comments. I have one here from George Morrison. Who is George here? You know, did George go home?
I think he did.
Okay.
But not approval of the agenda. Oh, what are you doing here?
That's right. No, we already did that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so now we're doing minutes for Tuesday, August 7th, 2018 special meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Amended, that's the one we amended, right?
Okay.
So we have a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I'll second that.
We have a second. Okay. So we're, Wes, we're working on the August 7th amended minutes, approval of those. We have
yes.
a motion and a second. Okay.
Ken.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Wes.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Okay, Friday, September 4th, 2018 special meeting.
I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes for Friday, September 14th.
Okay.
It's right there.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Ken Raines, a second by Joe Spear to approve the minutes from Friday, September 14th. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Kathy?
Ken.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Wes.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
And finally, Tuesday, September 18th, 2018, regular meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the September 18th, 2018 regular meeting.
Okay.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Joe, a second by Wesley to approve Tuesday, September 18th, 2018 regular meeting. Any further discussion? No. Kathy?
Ken.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Wes.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Okay, financial review.
There's just one thing that I wanted to point out to you all, do my best to answer any questions that you might have. But on the it's page one, and it's the profit and loss budget performance. It's not too far into it. And it's the first 3 months. We've just finished the first 3 months. And this report has our revenue at 43.9%. In 3 months is 25%, so we're above. And I really want to applaud our staff, and everybody that's stayed at RV park and bought fuel from us. Just everything that it took to get us with this type of revenue. So I'd like to point that out.
So do you have any idea what to attribute that to?
Most of it is that we had a salmon season.
Okay.
And the other half is unfortunately the fire in Reading.
Okay.
We also had shrimp down here. As far as the fuel sales, the fleet came down and worked off of our shore.
Well, I'll add that the last weekend for the salmon fishing, I've never in the 9 years that I've been here seen that many boats here. Awesome. And there was a lot of people here, so that is another thanks to how we're doing so well.
Well, I guess it's kind of encouraging that last year we suffered greatly because of the fire, and unfortunately for other people, we benefited this year because of fire. So, okay. Manager report and operational report.
Okay, well, you've had a chance to look at my report. I itemized, I gave you updates on the first four things. And then I'm asking the commissioners to create a new list of the top three or four items going forward. And that is to have a focus on abandoned Pacific Dock. Next spring, we will get the $600,000 from the lottery for dock repair. And I've talked with Jack Aiken, our engineer, on focusing for funds available to complete that project. And I believe that when you all took the job as commissioners, that I provided the hazardous mitigation plan, and it's all spelled out in there, in that document. Some of them are lumped together for a total price, but throughout the document there are Jack's and Gary Dillinger's guesstimate of what it would take at that time to bring things right in the port. And then number two, of course, is the RV park bathroom, short term and long term. And I'm asking the commissioners to come up with something. Jack and I both thought that we were receiving a grant for the fuel dock slope repair, but neither one of us have a definitive answer to give you tonight. And then the fourth item that, and you know, just because I put them down don't mean that they're your ideas. The fourth one was a winter project for the crew to upgrade Suite 103, where we have our special meetings, the former port office, making it into either a rentable meeting room or upgraded for future lease. Either, you know, what the things that I put in parentheses would get it ready for lease, and we could use it as a meeting room until that time. So fairly, I can't tell you how many we had it, but I didn't write it down. So that's my manager's report. Do you have any questions?
Most of our operation for this month has been focused on getting things ready for pilings, laying out where our new docks are going to go, getting the fingers built. Some other ones that we've had a lot of boats in the boatyard, a lot of different forklift jobs in there, and the diesel tanks have been cleaned, and I am currently still getting quotes on the gas and the cosmetic part of it. I'm reaching out to a couple different companies for some more pricing before we move forward with that. Any questions? Any concerns about what's going outside?
When you replace the docks, are you using the existing docks you have stockpiled?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So the docks that we're using are one from E-Dock that we demoed out earlier.
Okay.
So all that adding of the fingers we've been able to do with, well, I've had to buy bolts for the fingers, but other than that, the ports had all the materials needed to be able to do this.
Okay. All right, old business, RV park. Now, what does that constitute? Can we talk about this?
I believe
this just
comes from,
was it
Joe?
Those are my proposals right there.
Okay.
You guys haven't had much time to look at it. I like number three myself.
Did people have copies of this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just the commissioners. You didn't make it available.
Oh, I didn't make it for anybody.
So in that case, Joe, would you go through them and read them?
I can do that. All right. Options for RV bathroom and port RV park. Option one, install internal sand filter in underground plumbing tube 4 and shower drains. Locate or permanently hard plug and fill the existing RV dump site. All right, now option two would be port remove, disconnect RV park bathroom, shower, plumbing from Harbor Sand sewer system, closing the building from further usage, and relocate permanent hard plug and fill existing RV dump site. Number three, show good faith, immediately install K-rails in front of RV bathroom, shower building, to prevent king high tide water and debris from entering the building, secure building from further usage. Install floor and sand filter, install floor, sand filters in the bathroom and floor drains in old restroom by Fraley's building. In addition, bathroom facilities need to be in dry camping area and RV bring all. In addition, bathroom facilities needed in dry camping area or RV bring the porta potties. Relocate hard plug and fill existing RV dump site. And ask for time and extension to present a planned permanent solution for the bathroom shower facility problem. I didn't think about everybody else. I'm reading them.
So I'll ask a question probably of Travis. Is this the bathroom we're talking about is like 40 some years old?
Yes.
Is it ADA compliant?
Yes.
Okay. So this bathroom was built to a standard, whatever it was, 40 some years ago.
Yes.
If we do anything in the bathroom of any kind, we then have to comply with current 2018 standards?
If you are going to tear the bathroom down and rebuild it, you'll be playing by today's rules. As far as what I've understood from what Kathy's got from the county plumbing inspector is that I think everybody's familiar with the grandfather clause does apply to that bathroom. And as far as what I understand of the clause is that you can remodel, you can fix existing, you can't change what you have. You can have your showers, you can upgrade, you can do a remodel, replace what's existing, but you cannot add or take away from what is there.
So if we were to add a sand filter, then we would have to comply with 2018 regulations. That changes the original.
As far as the sand filter and the floor, if you were going to do all of them, I would imagine we're going to be walking into a different situation. I do not know the little ends of it. If we add a sand trap, if that takes us out of that grandfather clause, that part, I don't know. That could be a repair as existing. But what I know, for us to stay under that, we have to keep what we have, and we may want to start thinking about remodeling the bathroom. We talked about doing small band-aids or replacing it. Replacing it's going to be very difficult for us, complying with today's rules, with the amount of parking spots we have, the spaces, what we provide, the distance it's apart. We're going to find ourselves, it's going to be a much bigger project than I had first anticipated, and it's not as easy as replacing one bathroom. I suggest that we start looking into remodeling existing what we have and, find a happy medium. We might have to spend $75,000 to $80,000 to remodel, but it'll keep us under the grandfather clause and not have to do a much larger project, which we don't have the money to do.
Okay. Well, so here's the dilemma. We're getting into the winter time. We're getting into periods when it's going to be tough to work down there. We're going to have the sand and water intrusion issues. What kind of a time frame are you thinking?
I haven't looked into it. Just get on the schedule, start getting quotes. expedite it if that's what we want to do and get somebody coming here. My guess is we're probably going to be hiring somebody from Medford probably to come over here. That part of scheduling, I'm not sure. We really just need to nail down the direction we want to go with it. I know we need to comply with what, you know, Harbor Sanitary is asking for us to do. The sand and water coming from the ocean into those bathrooms, it would be in everybody's best interest to wall that off and put doors, you know, turn them so where we have a walkway coming from behind it. We need to come up with something to stop that water from coming in. Temporary fixes like what Joe said, you know, K-rails to get us up in front, you know, up in front of it, help divert the water around it, could be a temporary fix for us. But I don't see any other options we can do that I have looked over that's gonna fit what we need to do in our budget other than getting a contractor in here, getting a look, you know, we'll wall off the back, make a plan for if that we're gonna remodel, we need to make that plan and put it together and execute it. I don't know what else other options we have left. Remodeling, knocking our bathroom over, I just kind of want to take that off the table. It's not, we do not have the money or the opportunity to go forward with that right now.
Richard?
Yes.
We're causing sand damage to Harbor Sand's equipment. That's straightforward. This has been going on for how many years? I mean, we have their representatives, everybody, 5 years, 10 years, what's 2 years? That's your know of it. Okay. A sand separator does not have to damage, to my knowledge, anything that's in the bathroom. It goes outside of the restroom. We need to do something to stop the sand. Simple. Sand separator, we authorized an engineer 2 months ago, I believe it's 2 months ago, to look into a solution to the problem. We still have no solutions to the problem. We need an engineered fix, and we need to put up the barriers and or doors to prevent the storm damage or sand coming in. I don't see where this is real complex. We need to get an X. Go ahead, Kathy.
It took a little while for Travis to get it through my thick skull. So I'm going to say it as simply as I can. All of the shower, the toilets, the sink, we have no gray water as a separate line. Everything is one line, it's a sewer line. And a sand separator, ordinarily, and please correct me if I'm misspeaking, would be installed where there's gray water, not where there's a sewer connection. That's the complication.
When are we going to have an engineer go down there and design a solution to this problem?
When I can get one that will do it for $1,000.
Okay. Then we need to authorize more money.
Probably.
Okay.
Well, why don't we go talk to an engineer and get some cost estimates and then make a decision based once we've got some actual cost estimates. I mean, I'm struggling with this, and I have since the beginning of this, because, you know, I don't know what you have in mind for remodeling, but we're still going to end up with cinder block walls. If we're going to do a change where we're going to remove gray water from the sewer line, and that goes outside, then we're going to have to figure out a way to protect that so you don't get seawater running into that if it's a box. So that's an issue. If you're going to separate those lines, you're going to jackhammer the floor of that place up to break those. So we're going to essentially tear the inside of that apart. And when we're done, we're going to end up with the problem solved, but a 45-year-old building that's been remodeled. I mean, we've got fascia issues, roof issues, there's some other things there too. As opposed to, now I don't know all the details about the new building. If we put in a new building, you're saying there's more requirements we're going to have to meet?
So the number of sites that we have and the distances that they are and the things that we're going to have to account for, such as our parking spots across the front of the beach that are on our property, those parking spots will count towards that. And the distances of the bathrooms and that, everything that I've given you gets you back to what you want. That's, and it also comes down to just, is that what you guys want? Do you want the same thing? You know, do you, and that's where a lot of our confusion of what we've been happening. We sent a letter, it was returned back to us, says, I need, where I'm at with all this and things are, I need you guys to decide where we're going to, we need to come up with a solution. I don't know where to keep, I don't know what else I can give you guys. We can do the engineering. Our previous limit was $1,000. If you want us to spend more money on that, please allow us to spend more money on it. And then we also need to make sure that the moves we're making, that we're letting Harbor Sanitary know and making sure we're working with them, and that the time frame of getting an engineer here, getting answers and getting to a solution is going to be longer. You know, it's, we need to make sure we have that kind of time. Or are they looking for a fix right now? Our timelines are getting a little mixed too, because the letters and stuff and our meetings aren't happening as fast as what I can act on them.
I have a quick question, or actually just a statement to make it clear then. If we bulldoze them, the uniform building code is going to dictate an occupancy load for the bathrooms spots. So potentially we have to put in more restrooms.
Potentially we would have to put in more bathrooms.
Potentially we have to come up with wheelchair ramps, multiple, just all kinds of issues.
You're going to be forced with today's standards.
Sure.
Today's standards are getting pretty high.
Very costly, yeah. I'm with you on the approving. I'll get somebody out here and find out what we're looking at.
Yeah. Make an engineer to work with Harbor Sand and us and do us, get a, come up with a solution. If the bathrooms are going to be built right where they exist, a sand filter can be used down the road. So I just would like to see a permanent solution designed by an engineer, accepted by Harbor Sand and us, that works.
I'm going to make a motion.
So with this, I would like you guys to go ahead and lay out how you would want your letter back to Harbor Sanitary to look. And it's, we also need to come up with a temporary solution that we think is good right now that we can put into a letter back to Harbor Sanitary so they can accept it, because our previous one was not accepted. So I need to come up with a new wording, new letter to send to them to get, or you guys to go ahead and direct us to put the K-rails up and send the letter that that's what it is. I don't know how you guys want me to go with this.
Are we still pursuing a board-to-board meeting?
That's your decision.
That's exactly what I was, that'd be a good idea. So we're all on the same page.
I would like to see a board-to-board meeting as soon as possible. That works for both of our calendars. And we'll present what we're talking about. I'd like to see an engineer hired and come up with a permanent design.
So I'll make a motion to hire an engineer, come up with a permanent design.
One more thing before we get, what would you like me to do for a temporary fix?
Let's try running it this way. So it seems to me the most expeditious way to resolve Harbor Sanitation's issues is to take that bathroom offline temporarily. So putting up the KRL, sealing that building up, and shutting it down until we can get an engineer solution to decide what it's going to, what it's going to have to end up looking like, what it's going to cost, and what the timeframe is. Because those are all questions that I'm sure they're going to want to know. So take it offline, what does that mean? And it's going to also affect us on the RV park. It's in our best interest to take it offline in the winter, obviously, when our visitation is down, and try and get this done before Memorial Day for sure. So, you know, I think a motion would include the whatever we're going to do for the short term, mm-hmm. and then what the long term is going to be.
Okay.
I believe that the letter from Harbor Sam most recently denied our proposal to take it offline.
Well, you tell me, where do we go from here? I mean, our options are pretty few. We have to fix the problem. We have to take it offline. We're going to have to get the rest of this done.
We have 30 days.
And then do we have permission to shut down the necessary sites? I'm not sure how many it's going to be, but we will have to shut down some of our RV park as well.
Before we take it down, how long is it going to take to get an engineer to look at that? Anybody got a guesstimate? Is this Jack?
I can hope I can have one out here within 2 weeks. That's really
before we take the bathroom.
I don't even have a name for an engineer to okay. do this yet.
My suggestion would be before we take the bathroom offline, if we have those big storms pending, then we leave the bathroom open. We get the engineer in here to design, tell us what we need to do, and then if we need to take the bathrooms offline, we can shut the doors and do whatever he recommends. And in the meantime, we still have the revenue from the RV park. We get the engineer to approve a plan that Harbor Sands can agree to, and we move forward.
And have a board-to-board meeting as soon as possible, so we're all on the same page. They want to fix it, we want to fix it, and if we can all be reasonable, I think we can fix it.
Do you have
pretty
a date
simple
in
thing.
Mind?
Pardon me?
Do you have a date in mind when the majority of the commissioners could be there?
I have no idea about their schedule. I'll do whatever I have to
well,
do
the
to make it.
Well, said that when it was convenient for you.
Okay. Tomorrow morning?
I'm good anytime.
Anytime.
Good most times, except next week I got to be gone for 3 days, but otherwise I'm good.
Okay. Okay. So this is Tuesday, so if we can come up with something this week?
Try and shoot for something by Thursday?
What, it'll be in the evening, I'm assuming?
We'll see what we can get worked up.
Because okay, I have a meeting in Gold Beach in the morning, but other than that, yeah.
Afternoon, okay?
Could be afternoon.
Okay.
Works for me.
Works for me.
So again, what would you guys like to do for a temporary fix until
That's only 2 days, so if
no,
we can
no,
be
no,
there...
No, it's going to be more than that, because we're going to... It's not just... I mean, we've got to remember, it's not just the water running across the parking lot and bringing sand in there. We got surfers going in there every day washing their boards off and washing themselves off. That's adding sand into that system. We have people in there doing that too. So,
what's Harbor Sanitary's opinion on what we can do for a quick fix? That's my. I mean, just for now. So, like I say, if we can all agree and start working,
well,
working down this path.
I think that Harbor Sanitation's position is it's your problem. You figure out how to fix it. We've told you what you need to do. So you need to get something in motion to fix it, and that's what we're talking about doing here, which is getting engineers in here and
well, sure, we need that, definitely.
That. So, yeah. I mean, Travis, I don't have a really good answer for you what to do other than take it offline.
Do I have permission to use my allowable spending, which is $5,000, not to exceed? I can't exceed that without your permission to get a. An engineer.
Get the ball rolling for an engineer.
Oh, yeah, engineer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm assuming that we can put together a special meeting pretty quickly to discuss the amount. If you have an engineer that comes in and says, okay, I'm gonna charge you $5,000 to do this, then we could meet and
Well, we can safely go ahead and move forward if it's $5,000. She can make that decision. So as far as shutting down the back and tell to keep it open as business, to shut it down, you guys are gonna have to do a vote on that to shut it down.
Richard, I'm confused why you want to shut it down in the next 2 weeks. Why not? We have our board meeting with them. We get an engineer online to where we have an idea. If there's any pending big storms coming, we can shut everything down, seal that place up. But right now, there's nothing that I'm aware of in adverse weather that's going to do anything more than the typical sand we have, which if the staff is working the sand filters, I think that would be adequate until we get this engineer online and have a meeting with them and discuss.
Well, we make that as tell your board to board meeting and we'll go from there.
Well, my only concern about this is we've kicked this can down the road for a lot of years. And we've kicked it down the road for several months since I've been. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? Well, we're going to just do nothing until we come up with another plan. And, you know, I'm thinking that the patience of the people we're dealing with are probably running out. That's why I'm suggesting it.
Well, I don't think we're not doing anything. We're finally doing something. We get an engineer to design a plan that has a sand separator that deals with the whole problem, not piecemealing it. And then we can present that plan to them. If we need to shut the restrooms down, we still have that option available to us if necessary. But in the meantime, we're cutting our own throats if we have, you know, income coming from down there. So we're going to have a meeting next week with them, we can discuss all this.
Yeah. I don't know who they are here. I don't know by looking at you. It could be people I know. But I do know that this is a whole new board that has never dealt with you guys in the past, and we are more than wanting to take care of this issue the proper way. We don't want to destroy your equipment. We want to take care of it, but we're doing the best we can as fast as we can, given, I mean, everything else that we've got going down. So that's why I think the board-to-board meeting, and we can just say, what can we do to help this problem go away as fast as we can and take the right steps to do it. You're the professionals, whoever you are, with the sewer department. I have no idea. All I know is I know sand's wrecking your stuff, and we can't have that. So hopefully we can fix that up.
I don't think that gave Travis the direction he wanted.
No, well, we already have it, right? Well, we're gonna have a meeting.
You're gonna go business as usual until the board meeting and your board-to-board meeting, and then pending that board meeting, hopefully we'll have some solutions and some answers from them. We will work on the engineering. Like I said, I will do it. I'm shooting 2 weeks. I will do everything I can to get in here as fast as possible.
And if we have to have
With all that being said, I don't think we need any motions for anything.
So when we're talking to this engineer, I mean, the scope of what we're going to ask him is beyond the sand filter, right? We're going to talk
sand
about
sand separator.
Sand separator. We're going to talk about a redesign of the bathroom.
Redesign, and we're going to need, so the engineering, we're going to want him to address our immediate problem with sand.
Number one.
Also, in addition to that, a remodel of what we have right now. Is that right? Ken's telling me no. We know we want the engineering to come in and look at our sand problem. What do we have to do to put in sand interceptor to deal with our sand problem? Beyond that, what do you want me to have them look at?
Well, I mean, if we're going to hire somebody to do this, let's not piecemeal it. Let's hire him to redesign the bathroom and tell us what it's going to take to move the doors to the back to secure that from future problems from the ocean, and what we're going to have to do to seal up the walls remove the tile, do whatever we need to do to make that place easy to clean, easy to maintain, and meet the needs of our customers.
But falling under the grandfather clause, right?
So we don't. Right now, we need to talk to the engineer and see what he tells us. But I mean, what I'm saying is, as long as we're backed into this, I mean, as you know, my preference was to take the bulldozer in there and make a hole and fill it with a new bathroom. But it doesn't sound like that's practical from a lot of, because of a lot of other things.
That gives me enough. I'll get an engineer down here and tell him what our needs are and we'll put it to work.
And while he's there, he might as well take a comprehensive look at it and say, okay, so you're going to have to do some...
You're going to need the roof.
Fascia roof.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
That was easy.
All right, I'll...
there's one more thing in the harbor sand. Are you interested in pursuing an MOU?
Yeah.
And you've read the one that they have proposed?
I have. Have you?
Yes.
So that being said, is there anyone that wants to take any action on it?
Are you just now reading it, Wes or Joe? You guys read it?
Yes. No, I just saw it tonight.
If I'm chairing the meeting, I can't make the motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve the Harbor Sam MOU.
Have you read?
I started reading it, yeah. I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Ken and a second by Joe to approve the memorandum of understanding that was provided to us by Harbor Sanitation. Any further discussion? So with that, Wes, are you good with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Okay. Can we let the dust settle on the RV park now, at least for a while? Next item is the road credit union lease.
There's still some confusion. In the last conversation I had with my contact at Rome, I think they finally understand that they own the building. They got the building permit for the repairs that they made, but you know, I think it's one of those situations where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Anyway, I'm waiting for their legal department to approve the draft lease that they've given. So we're not ready to sign the lease yet.
Okay. That brings us then to the ordinance. So this is an ordinance that we've read once, so this would be the final action on this ordinance. Kathy, is that correct?
I believe that that's correct. I don't have Martha's notes in front of me. It says Martha's advice is page one. So where the arrow is, next meeting, the instructions say move to waive the full reading and adopt the ordinance number 21, an ordinance of the Board of Commissioners. And then the notice under that, it says it doesn't go into effect just because we've read it for the second time. So you're familiar with that.
Right.
Recommendation of Martha made.
Okay, so for the benefit of you folks out there that don't know what we're talking about, we're amending the original parking ordinance to specifically prohibit parking vehicles that don't have boat trailers in the boat trailer parking spot at the launch ramp. And we're also specifically prohibiting the use of the courtesy dock by the launch ramp for commercial purposes. Okay, and those two items were pointed out to us by the State Marine Board. The grant that built the new facility came from Sportfish Restoration Dollars, which is a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service fund, but it is very specific about what the money can be used for. So their statement to us was, any use that of those facilities that interferes with the use by recreational fishermen is prohibited. And failure to fix this or make sure it's we're in compliance could cause us to have to pay the grant back, which is over $1 million, if I remember right. So we specifically amended that, the original parking ordinance, ordinance number one, to prohibit those two things. So that's what this is. Okay? So somebody want to make a motion?
Well, did you go through all the steps?
Well, whoever makes the motion is going to have to go through the steps, the waiving, the reading, and all that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. We pass ordinance number one. How's it revised?
Well, what we have to do is we have to make a motion that says, I move that we waive the reading of the full ordinance.
Okay.
And then make that.
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. That work?
That's what I understand. On that page, at the very bottom, you would start with I move.
Okay.
And then you read that off for the record.
We're going to quickly find that page. I haven't found it. Have you got it handy?
Here.
Okay.
I thought I seen it.
I think
it's
just
that
one.
Kathy has it in her hand.
You don't like that one?
I'm sorry. I thought I checked it. Yeah.
No.
So at the very bottom, you see.
Okay, so that's what you read. That's your motion.
So isn't that it?
Per court counsel move to waive full reading and adopt ordinance number 21 and ordinance of the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Brookings Harbor amending ordinance number 1-1998 regarding transit dock boat ramp and public parking regulations.
Okay, we have a motion. Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion to waive the reading and approve ordinance number 21 by Ken Range, a second by Joe Spear.
Yeah. All right. Good to
go. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Okay. New business user agreement, Al Cornell. Welcome to the hot seat.
This is not going to take too long. I'm getting at an age right now where I'm eventually going to have to sell my vessel. And she's giving me the thing.
A little bit closer to the table.
We got to talk into the mic.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the point is that I'm trying to make is that if I sell my vessel, and does the new owner of that vessel have priority over a list of other people that are waiting for a slip? So I am presenting before you guys. It'd be very difficult to sell a boat if the new person wants to maintain that dock. But that's in conflict with a list. I don't know where the list came from or who originated or where. You have any idea where it came from? The list of people that are waiting for a slip.
Oh, the waiting list?
Yes.
You know, I can't speak to currently, except for that it's been in operation.
It really doesn't matter because there's no, I can't find it anywhere in the literature here. So who has priority over a slip? If it's available, I can see a list, people waiting for an available slip to take that slip. But if a person is selling a boat, and it'd be very difficult to sell a boat without a slip. Now, I'm not talking about guarantees, but you know, it's at the port discretion to make a decision as to a new lease for the person that buying that, that boat. And the discretion is sort of to the port manager. But there's always a problem there because, you know, what governs your decision is, you know, you look at a person and say, okay, I'm going to give you a lease, or, you know, what's the protocol for something like that? Any answer? Nope. It's not. Do you have a protocol for that?
It's going to be if they can get insurance on the boat. Insurance is a big one, whether if they're going to be able to have mortgage with us or not. We do do credit checks for new mortgage customers. You know, those are factors that play yeah, into new people with boats.
Good. Is that in writing somewhere, or is that just the...
Insurance is one of our ordinances.
You right.
have to have insurance. Okay. And I have found that some people that have been buying boats are having a difficult time insuring them.
Insurance, okay. Okay, all I want to do is make clear who has that priority over that slip, you know, when you sell a boat, whether the list of people that are on that list or the person that's buying the boat.
When you sell a boat, that boat, pending their mortgage agreement, they get approved, the boat will stay with us.
That's all I need.
There you go.
Thank you.
What I'm hearing you say then is, so the practice is that the slip transfers with the sale of the boat to the new owner.
That's with the port
like the mortgage agreement that Al has, if he sells his boat and he has 3 months left on it, that new owner will not get those 3 months. They have to sign a brand new mortgage agreement with us, but they will have priority to that slip, being the boat is there. We're just looking, our main goal is to get boats that have been here. We're not trying to kick them out, you know. We just want to make sure that the new owner isn't under the pretense that that mortgage slip comes with that boat, because we need to go through our steps to make sure they have a new mortgage agreement with us.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I hesitate to bring this up now, but I will since it's here. So my concern is there are slips I know that are vacant that are currently rented. There's just not a boat in it, right? So is that a common practice to have people rent a slip and leave it vacant for years at a time? And what's the advantage to the port to doing that other than the income that's generated?
It makes it very hard for us to juggle boats around. When people pay for a year's worth of mortgage and they decide not to keep their boat in there, our ordinances say there's no subleasing your space. You can't park another boat there. And it makes it extremely tough for us, you know, to accept new boats when boats are out. But that's our rules, that when you buy a slip, you do not necessarily have to have a boat in.
Well,
but the port also has the ability to move vessels around that best serve our port. So if there's somebody in H, I, or J dock by the Coast Guard that decides they don't want to be there all the time, and I have another slip that's their size that's available, you know, we do utilize our ability to move boats that way, you know, relocate slips, talk to the owners, you know, say, hey, I know your boat's not in here. You know, I make lots of phone calls and say, I'm gonna move your slip to here since your boat's not in here. So it opens the slip up. And a lot of times people are willing to make that move, and sometimes it forces your hand and you have to make that move.
Well, the reason I ask that question is if we have a waiting list, mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out how people crack that. If people are going to rent a slip in perpetuity and not use it, how do you ever get new people in? I mean, how do you resolve this waiting list issue unless somebody says, okay, I'm out of here and I'm done?
That does happen. We just had one of our 50-foot slips on Q Dock open with that. We had a boat sell on there. They took the boat to Newport. The BJ Thomas, it had happened with them, the same thing. A lot of people that come here don't want to leave. You know, and that I don't, when people have slips here that they're paying for, we have multiple slips where people pay one year and they don't never put their boat in one time. Hmm. And there's nothing we could do about that. And when somebody else buys a boat, our practice at the port has always been, we aren't going to, you know, have somebody buy a boat and then immediately us tell them, you're on a 25-person waiting list, so you got to get your boat out of here. And that's just not, it's a practice. The waiting list and some of that, it gets hard for us. The waiting list is a difficult thing for us to have for problems that, you know, occur when you have people on waiting lists and you have a transfer of a boat sale with the mortgage. It does sometimes tend to try and contradict itself, but so far we've been able to work through it. The waiting list is a hard thing for us to have.
Okay. All right. Security.
Okay. Initially, Wes had asked this to be on the agenda, and then there were some additional things that came up. So I would suggest that Wes was the one that wanted it on the agenda.
Yes, I asked you actually, well, I don't know how long ago, to check into cameras, estimates for cameras, and that type of security, and you said you would look into that, so.
And you had shared some additional information, and I didn't want to speak for you. But at one time you thought that it would be better to have cameras than our security guard that we have. Maybe it was just your...
No.
I don't want to speak for you.
Well, yeah, you just did, but no. I think that security cameras other than a vehicle driving around how many times a night? A couple of times. All I know is when people are breaking in and stealing and they see headlights coming down the road, they don't know if it's a state trooper, they don't know if it's Brookings PD, they don't know if it's... Well, they know it's not a sheriff, right? The lights, they duck down, the lights go by, the people pop back up, and they rip off. So we have had quite a problem since I've been here, and before I've been here, with theft. And apparently, the car driving by is not deterring the theft. We've had cameras mounted in the past, according to port employees, that were accessible. And when people are going to steal and they can access those cameras, they'll walk up from behind it, rip the camera off, and yes, we have my policeman right here. So I think properly placed cameras are a huge deterrent, so much so that most communities are even putting them now. I'm not into cameras, let's just put it that way. If we could get away with getting rid of every computer and every camera in the world, I'd be happy with it. I'd jump up and down for joy and throw my cell phone in the ocean. Yeah, I just don't care for them. But the fact has arisen that we are being ripped off regularly. People that are renting mortgages do not feel safe. So if we're spending so much money a month to have someone drive by, it would behoove us to investigate, just like I spoke with you. This is the same thing I told you. Check into how much cameras would cost and possibly install them properly as to deter criminal activity, and if it doesn't deter it, we will catch them because we'll know who they are. This isn't Joe Blow cruising in from Idaho ripping off the fishermen's nets. This is somebody that knows what they're doing. They know where the cameras are, they rip the cameras down, they know exactly what's going on. So that was my suggestion to bring to the board, was to look into procuring security cameras. I don't know how much we pay our security firm monthly. I have no idea how much that costs, but cost effectiveness, it would be great to have all of those. I know that I was down in Crescent City today looking at a vessel in their port, and the lady there who's been there for quite some time commented on how good their security is, and we all know that Crescent City isn't full of the most wholesome, purest people in the world, but they have people down there constantly to where she feels safe enough to leave most of her stuff down by her vessel. We need to do something.
So what I was not clear about, and I'm sorry that the price quote for the cameras isn't in here. I had gotten it, and I don't want to talk off the top of my head. Are you suggesting cameras instead of the security or in addition to?
I have no idea. I think we need to check into what cameras cost, first of all. Again, night security driving by in his car is no different than me driving down the front lane. They see headlights, they duck. Headlights go by, they pop back up, take out their knife, cut the end of the fishing net off, and off they go. It's that simple.
That's not the only thing that night security does.
I don't know. I didn't bring that up. What I asked from you was to provide us with a cost analysis for the possibility of installing cameras as a way to deter crime.
So how many cameras?
I asked you to investigate. I don't know. I'm not the port manager.
It's not an easy question to answer, because when you start getting into remote sensing cameras, mm-hmm. you not only need to deal with the camera, you need to deal with the duration of the tape. How sure. often does it reset? How are you going to store that stuff? How's it going to be accessible? So the most a camera is going to give you is an after the fact documentation of what you can see if it's a person. And you know, you start getting into digital cameras that loop more than 24 hours, you're starting to talk more expense. I mean, it's a much bigger.
I had it on my house down south for, I forgot what I paid for it, but it recorded for 2 weeks straight. And it came with multiple cameras with night sensors in the whole gig. Okay. It's not that expensive at all. So, if you would like me to check into it, I will. I didn't believe that would be my duty as
one commissioner, in order to go in on wild, I need to have the board make that action.
Okay.
So I'm not directed by one commissioner, I'm directed by the full board.
Okay.
Make a motion.
And then just, if we're gonna be talking cameras and figuring prices, since we're talking about it, I'd like to talk about where we're at the entire port, if there's places we're in particularly looking at, because distances and types of cameras
sure.
for our port, you're gonna look at different ones. In my experiences with cameras that we've had here, I've never caught one person off a camera. I just never have. We've never had cameras. It's in the dark, you can't see their face. Yes, you get to see what happens. Deterrence, yes, a camera is a deterrent. But I just want to, is what I'm bringing this up for, is that if we're going to go down the camera road, I would like us to take 10 minutes and go over where we're looking at
sure.
wanting these things. If it's, you know, if we're going to go through this, I don't want to just be looking at cameras and be talking about this for a long time. I want to talk about it and get it narrowed down so I know what I'm looking for, so we can give you guys the best possible answers.
Do we have an area of, I mean, is it over by Roy's?
We can talk more. Yeah, I mean, do we want to look at our basins
mm-hmm.
more, our entries to our gates? Do we want to look at our parking lots? Are we concerned about our gear storage, RV park use, you know, the kite field area? We need to narrow down what we're looking at. It's a lot of ground to cover with cameras, and you know, a lot of factors that's going to come into wireless ones and things, again, is going to be cost, and where I can put the receivers and everything. We have a major problem down there with trying to get signals to different things. So again, with all this, if we're going to talk about cameras, I'd like to talk about what areas of the port we're looking at.
Well,
doing.
Where's the document problem? I mean, do we have a list of places that have been robbed or burglarized or broken into?
I have a very small list. I know not too long ago we had a break-in at Roy Davis's shop, our shop, and that whole entire shop area. did get broke into. As far as we found, nothing was stolen.
So it's a pretty small area, though, that we're really looking at that's being encroached. Not Zola's. It's not where there's high traffic, high visibility, lights everywhere. This is a pretty small area that, from what I understand, that's being taken advantage of. Yes.
And those would be, you know, those are the areas that I hear a lot of the things that you guys are talking about. The customer feedbacks, the public feedback that I get is very, very minimal. When it comes time to somebody filing a complaint form, coming to the port office and saying this was stolen off my boat, and getting them back in a reasonable time, I have had them, somebody came and said I had a fishing pole stolen off my boat a month ago.
I'm more concerned about them hacking apart $10,000 worth of netting or something, you know. I mean,
and
really,
you know, if we're gonna,
that's pretty blatant.
An option, you know, for us to look at security options, our gear storage area is the darkest part of our port. You know, if you, lights are a big deterrent. Lights would be a great thing to possibly look into over there too. I don't want to sit here and feed you guys, you know, but if we're gonna talk cameras, I'd like to talk where you guys are looking at pointing them so I can get you guys the best answers.
Or other options, like you just said, lights. I mean, something that is going to make a difference other than just a set of headlights driving down the road.
Well, I need to add to what you're saying, Lorenz. Thomas and I, from Night Security, have had a lot of conversation, and you might not be aware, before you guys volunteered to be commissioners, we had a boat sink. Night Security was there. We had the Coast Guard vessel capsize. Night Security was there. We had the Yahoo at the kite field that ended up on the utility. Night Security was first responder on that. We had Thelma and Louise who drove off in front of the Coast Guard station. You all remember that?
Yes.
I don't remember Thelma.
Night Security was there. That wasn't their real name.
Okay, I didn't know that you were so impressed with their response, but
right,
I'll definitely.
Right after that.
Uh huh.
And this was when in February, we had the person that decided to move a pickup over by the Hallmark dock, and Night Security was there. So they also, so that everybody knows, Night Security is involved not just in driving by, but they lock the bathrooms, they unlock the bathrooms. They are there for the gate at the RV park. They're not just headlights driving by, so I needed to add that to the rest of what you're saying.
Okay, I will check. I have some other stuff then to bring to this that we'll put on the next agenda in regards to some new information, and that might help us along our path of what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, I'd like to solve a problem, I don't want to spend a lot of money to solve a do something about something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I agree. If there are security issues that can be resolved by improving lighting, that's in the best interest of the port in the long term. May get some complaints from neighbors. I don't know, but. But if we got a problem, let's solve it. But let's not try and solve a problem we don't have, basically. Because it's an expensive undertaking to buy and maintain stuff.
I get calls all night long from any problems, anything that happened. And just so it's out there, my phone calls have not gone up or diminished any more than what they've been over the last 5 years.
Sure.
I know there's been a lot of different talk with the court ruling on the homeless things, and there's been lots of things. So far to date, we have not experienced an influx in problems around our port as a whole. You know, there's problems. There's gonna be problems down there. That's just the facts of it. But I have not seen an increase in problems.
Well, I think at the last meeting, we had a, I won't call it a complaint, but a statement made by one of the commercial fishermen about the use of the showers at the commercial boat basin. And then we also had the discussion about the actual incident with the guy that was robbing the boat. And, you know, if we're gonna talk about this, I'd like to do it in a more comprehensive manner and talk about, we had some discussion about putting either a punch key lock on the doors to the shower or a card lock or something like that, which I think probably makes sense. So we have that issue. We've got this estimate here about
the gates,
putting up gates at $8,000 per for the ramp access or boat dock access. So we probably ought to look at this in a comprehensive fashion and figure out what makes sense to do, what we can do, and what we should try and do. Because it's, you know, I'm all about security. I think that's a great idea, but I don't want to spend $35,000 to solve a problem that doesn't exist either.
So. Right. And the thing with night security that you say is always being there, Thomas is part of this fire department, wears a fire department pager, and the majority of time responds in his car instead of coming to the fire department, getting on fire apparatus, and responding. So that has, well, you, a lot of times you say night security is there. If it was a normal security company that the member wasn't on the fire department, and
we pay for X amount of, I believe it's 2 hours a night.
I can come up here and explain everything to you.
You don't have to ask for
anything. We don't need that right now.
It's necessary. I have a slight suggestion regarding security. Mm-hmm. Let's set out a time to where maybe we can do a special meeting regarding security. So we have opportunities to maybe get feedback from you guys of some possible security ideas. We can put together some options to look at and then present it to you guys.
Well, and I would suggest, are you from night security?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would suggest when we do that, we have night security come, give us their documentation of what they've observed out here. And I think that's a great idea because we're not going to solve it tonight. I don't have the energy for it, to be honest with you. So,
So we'll set up something and we'll try and make a special meeting. We'll talk about it, but we'll get a special meeting from regarding security at some point here in the near future.
That's a good suggestion. Ken?
Travis, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I just came back from visiting the forts in Monterey, Bodega Bay, and Fort Bragg. They've all got security gates that they use. We do not, to my knowledge, use the ones we have over in the recreational area. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because of the influx of keys, trying to get keys to mortgage people on the weekends. You know, we had F, G, and H dock almost full over the last weekend. And due to our staffing, I mean, the people that come in, want slips, you know, access it, people that lose keys, getting even a combination is, you know, can be extremely difficult for weekend users and trying to make the contact with right. with our
Did
people.
We have electricity at each one of those gates?
I believe we do.
Because a card lock like a motel key would be very simple. And I don't know the cost, and if you want, I'll find out.
And, you know, the card lock runs into the exact same thing with the keys.
I'm sorry?
The cards, the only problem I run into is getting them to the customers that use it. The commercial basin, you know, you don't have as much of a problem with that because a lot of those boats are always there. Our sport basin, though, we have a much higher turnover, and getting keys back, getting
Well,
them
that's where if you had a card lock. Like a credit card, mm-hmm. you don't have to get it back. And, you know, when they buy a slip, the card is punched in for the year. If they rent it for a day, it's authorized for a day. And if they give them back, that's wonderful. If they don't, you know, it's going to be part of the agreement. But I can check into that if you want. Then on security, another question I have is, do we have, and night security would probably know this one also, but do we have a county ordinance or a port ordinance? I know they impounded, or we impounded, put the foot on vehicles at one time Is that through a county ordinance, or what's our legal authority to do it?
We can, putting boots on cars, that, I don't know if we can or can't do that. That's one. As far as towing and removing vehicles, they're blocking any access to any, if they're parked on top of the launch ramp, if they're parked blocking the middle of a bathroom door, our ordinances allow us to tow them immediately. Does that answer your question? Yeah, our ordinances do allow us to tow things.
I will put another agenda item for next month.
Okay, so we're going to resolve the security discussion by talking about a special meeting.
Okay.
Have a night security come, and we'll sit down and talk about security. Okay? All right, employee handbook.
Okay, so the employee handbook, Kim and I have been working hard to come up with the revised language. The way, and you've got the original handbook as it pertains, and then her corrections that are in the draft section. The bottom line is that currently our employees get a disability bank and they have paid time off. It's called PTO. And if you don't mind, I'll show you. So in your leisure, you can go back. In the financial statement, page 2 with this heading, it shows the deductions as they are with employees.
Okay.
Yeah. So the situation being is the port is not bound to pay sick leave when an employee leaves the employment of the port. But in the past, an employee has been paid because it's all lumped together in a PTO department, paid time off. And the recommendation that we're making to the commissioners is that it be separated so the employees know what they have in vacation pay and what they have in sick pay. And
the port's not paying out sick time. You know, at the end of the year, we have the ability to cash out, you know, carry over or cash out our sick time. With our sick time being in our PTO, it means you guys are also paying us out on sick time, which you shouldn't be. All of our sick time's in our PTO, which allows us to cash out at a lot more money, and sick time's not for that. Sick time is for carryover and not for to be cashed out. And separating your PTO and your sick time is generally a good idea for employees, for ease of accounting, you know, and puts it out there and you're not trying to prove in the case that somebody wants to sue or what an employee does and say, my sick days, you have to prove then that you're giving them their sick days, because right now it only shows it as PTO. And for us, you need to be able to make it transparent. And our employees should not be able to cash out sick time.
So what's your recommendation we do this?
The recommendation is that we adopt the new language that you find in the red of the draft document. And it's also my recommendation that it go into effect November 1.
Motion?
I'll make a motion, we approve.
The employee handbook?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ken, a second by Wes, to approve the changes in the employee's handbook. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Kathy?
How about Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Thank you.
The next agenda item is manager search. That's probably not appropriate at this time. Correct?
Correct.
That would be my recommendation that you table it.
Okay. All right. Commissioner's report. Start with Joe.
I haven't got nothing. I'm not into this meeting tonight.
So. Well, you haven't been asleep for 24 hours, so, you know. Wes?
Nothing new.
Okay. Well, I reported on my meeting with the fire department. I'll also tell you, as a result of we had our second group meeting on special events last night, and we discussed, kind of got a pretty good understanding of the issues that we're looking at as far as parking and special events. So I have gone around and talked to all but two of the port businesses about how special events affect them, how they feel about them. Pretty much universally, everybody I've talked to says we like special events. They're good for us. There's issues with employee parking that we're going to have to resolve. There are issues with vendor parking that we're probably going to have to resolve, and we may have to do that. I mean, I'm just guessing right now, but we may have to set out aside someplace, a parking area for employees to be able to park. The issue is after about 10 in the morning, if they have shift people coming in to work at Slugs and Stones, for example, some of those people are ending up parking clear down by the Green Building and running to get to work. So these are not insurmountable problems, but the general attitude of the people at the port is that special events are good for them. Really good for them. So we'll continue on with that group and get some resolutions, and then we're going to look at the application to change the application to put in a section for outhouse permits or porta potty permits for harbor sanitation. Any special event permits that involve boating, we're going to have a checkbox on there for the Sheriff's Department and or the Coast Guard, things like that to kind of remind them. So that's where we stand right now with that.
I would like to discuss a change of the format for our agendas. Discussed it before that I think it's extremely rude to all of you to come in, we do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then immediately go into executive meeting, which is going to last anywhere from a half hour to an hour. Originally, what I was told, we had to do that because we had an attorney that was only available by phone, and that's when he was available. It's not the case now. And what I would like to see is at the heading for like this meeting, it would say Tuesday, October 16th, executive meeting, 6 o'clock, public meeting, 7 o'clock, or whatever we think. That way, you know, you don't need to come, you know, until that time. Also, the other item would be frequently we discuss, and I can tell you, you know, just the 44 was one of them. The Green Building has been discussed. There's a whole bunch of things. They get listed as new business. They get discussed, and we never see them again. We do not know what resolution to whatever we discussed is. So if it is in new business, it should be shown in the old business at the next meeting, just so we have some sort of closure on the item. And that's the end of it.
Okay.
Do you want to take any action on Ken's recommendation about changing up the format of the meetings?
You want a motion? Or just direction? My direction that I would give you is that we set the executive sessions for 5 o'clock.
Martha can't be here at 5 o'clock. I already discussed that with her. Sorry, Richard.
Oh. 5:30? Did she give you a time?
Yeah.
6?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she has a meeting at 4 o'clock that lasts till 5, and by the time she gets down here.
Okay. So then we set the executive sessions at 6 and the public meeting at 7.
Okay.
if we're going to have an executive session. But it's clearly marked at the top of the agenda. That's what I'm saying.
So,
one more clarification question. Is that for the regular meeting, or is that also going to be for special meetings that might have several agenda items?
I would say both. If we're going to go into an executive session, the public should know that they're going to be kicked out, basically, during a certain time frame. And I understand all of our executive sessions don't last the exact same amount of time. But if we put a reasonable time frame in there, it'll put pressure on us to get our business done.
Right, but I don't think I understood if you answered, you want the same format for special meetings?
If we're going to have an executive session in that meeting, which we normally do. So, yes.
Here's the bottom line. I think we'd like to give the public a time certain for their meeting that says, at this time, we're opening the meeting to the public. So just be aware that we're going to meet in an executive session prior to that. And so at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever time, let's say 7 o'clock, that will open the public meeting. So they could be certain that when they get here, the door's going to be open and we're going to be ready for business.
Or we could do the public session first, unless we have a reason why we can't do the executive session.
Part of the reason that we are trying to put the attorney up front is because if we don't, we got to pay her to be ready to come into session whenever we're at that point. So.
Another reason you guys, having an executive session first is in case there's action that needs to be taken on after. It allows you guys the meeting to be able to take action on something.
Our intent would be to make sure that when we do the agenda, that we give the public the time certain for their meeting to open.
Right. Okay.
Okay. That it?
That's it for me.
Any non-agenda related public comments? I don't have any cards here.
Yes, you do.
Oh, Jordan. Come on up, George. This is George Morrison, and he has a comment on docs.
I'm running to slip for this, the Howard tournament, or whatever you want to call it. It was the most disgusting place in my entire life, rent. My friend come down from Newport, their slips are nice and clean and what have you. He said, George, you just got over cancer and you had to have gloves on and all this kind of crap, and you're going to be doing this? He said, let's get our money back. I was told I cannot get my money back. It is the most disgusting slips down there, and if OSHA comes in, they'll shut this port down.
What is the issue?
Bird shit, excuse my language, bird dung all over. You lay a rope down there, everything gets solid. Go down there and walk it. It is why from April 15th to October 15th, can't you hire somebody to hose the docks off at least once on Friday and clean them up a little bit? Them docks have not been hosed off this year that I know of, have they?
No, sir.
And how deep is it?
Not allowed to do that.
You have to be extremely cautious about what you're washing back into the water.
Well, what happens if a kid gets down there and gets sick? How cautious are you going to be then? I mean, he did not want me, and his wife's got cancer too. He said, George, when you go home, you got to take your shoes off and your clothes off. That's how dirty it is. Am I not right?
There's bird poop out there. There's a lot of birds.
Well, somebody else, some slips are nice and clean where the people is. They wash it off. If you wash it off once a week, what's the difference?
It's due to traffic.
Pardon?
It's due to traffic on the docks. The docks, which slip did you rent?
28, I don't know what it is.
In the sport basin, kind of by the long tramp over there?
No, the last one over before.
Yeah. What ends up happening is the seagulls love to congregate at the end of our docks where...
Well, I was up the ways and I had to walk through it where our, the whole thing, and I would never ever rent another slip in this dock. And I would have taken my money back if I could have got it. I mean, it is horrible.
So the issue is DEQ discharge?
It's that manpower time.
Well, if you rented, hired a contractor or whatever, wash it once a week or once every other week on a Friday, and you might have more people renting slips. Right now, would you rent a slip where you have to wash your hands? You can't even wash your hands. I'm sorry, I got emotional. I would. You know, my friends, they got up in Newport. It's beautiful. I've been on their slip, and you know it. You know who I'm talking about. And I'll take you up in there. Well, next time I see you, I'll take you over there.
I've been there, Jerk. I've looked at those.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
Travis, do we make use of any of the Sheriff's Department's inmates that are available for community service?
No, we don't.
Could we look into that as something that, I don't know what their requirements are, if we have to provide transportation, but that would be a potential nice source of somebody to wash the docks.
This is just a question. I heard that we supplied that building to them rent-free. Is that correct, or is that misinformation on my part?
That is true. The Sheriff's Department?
Yeah, so maybe we might be able to work something out where we...
Do they have an inmate crew? I don't think they...
I don't know.
The closest inmate crew that I know of is the one that Bandon uses. I'm not even exactly sure where it's at, but Bandon uses it. And that's how Bandon makes their port go around down there. And it takes for one of their guys, they go pick them up, they bring them back. They have one guy that watches them, and it's about a 12-hour day for them to be able to go pick them up, bring them to the port, have them work, and return them. I'm not sure of any places in and around here that has prison-made crews that would work for us. I don't know. I can look into it.
They had them here before when Russ Crabtree was here. His father would stop at the jail and bring down a woman, and he would clean everything up, she would paint everything.
Part of the issue is that I'm pretty convinced Curry County doesn't have enough sworn people to run our inmate group. So that's a pretty big undertaking. You've got to have the transportation, you've got to have a guy check them out, take them out, put them back. If we've only got 6 road deputies on the road, I'm not sure that's the solution.
There's a lot of people, though, that are assigned community service as part of their sentencing. So
we have done the community service before. Problems that we've ran into is threatening to sue finding tasks that they can do that they're not going to fire back and say, we're going to sue you for getting bit by a spider or tripping over a pine cone. My arms are sore.
Cleaning up feces.
We've gone through and we did it for a while, and it's nothing that we can't go back to. I feel that the port could possibly open themselves up into a problem in the wrong case having people down here. As far as
but we do have an issue with the docks, and I've driven by and seen them myself.
One other thing, Travis. When we started to come in on Saturday night, and the slip beside us had been empty, all of a sudden someone was in there, and the wind was really bad. We started to turn in, and then we went, and I put it in another slip with somebody that I know wasn't there. I tried to contact. I went down to the port, I called a number, and it says, I called a number and rang, and it says, we don't have voicemail hooked up for it. I couldn't get a hold of anybody, because the people, I don't know if they run it or not, it seemed weird, the slip that was next to me, and I tried to report it to the port. And I could not get anybody to port to respond anywhere, so I parked it. I knew the boat would be there till morning, because I know it was a rented slip, I know the people, and I wanted to notify you I did, and I wanted to notify you that these people looked a little weird. I don't know.
Over the weekend, I got 15 phone calls, all due to one person parking in the wrong spot. That forced, it was a very bad domino effect, that because we only had two available slips left over there. One person parked in the wrong slip, and that changed the entire game. Everybody that came back in after that had to park somewhere different.
And we did.
I'm sure you did. And I know it comes down to, I understand the options. And from my side of it, it was a big tangle that I wasn't about to go. And I spent quite a bit of time down there trying to just help people to their slips. In a case when we're that busy, I do apologize. It's just extremely difficult for me.
Well, it was weird with this person. They may have had it running. They looked weird. They didn't want to look at us or whatever. And I just backed out. And I was in a pretty nice looking boat. I said, I know where the slip we can get into. I know they're not going to be there. I will teleport that I did it. And I couldn't teleport.
Okay. All right. Thanks, George.
I'm sorry if I got emotional.
No, that's all right.
That's okay, George. Thank you.
Okay. That covers the agenda. So I am going to adjourn the meeting at 8:21.
Why did you grab here?
Thank you for your patience.
Can I go up to
those?
Sure. Okay. Here's your right. Okay. So I look at the public
meeting. Civil engineer. Kind of engineer.
I would have to take that.
Civil engineer. This has been a major step.
Oh, yeah, I know it. I'm sorry, I'm Wes. I haven't met you. Hi, Kelly. Okay, nice to meet you. I saw you over on
the
other
side. Is that what you told me?
Well, I wish I could tell you that I felt we were making.
I was suggesting you shouldn't.